Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. And happy Easter. He has risen. He has risen indeed. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, and it is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and to bring you some good news in the morning. And it is a special morning. It is the morning of the greatest celebration on the Christian calendar. It is the morning where we celebrate life, resurrected life, Jesus' life. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, and you can find us on the web at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And I encourage you to check out the website. You'll find a number of things there to help build your spiritual life. And if you want, you can re-listen to this program. Well, just a few days ago, we walked through Easter, or Good Friday. It was the day that Jesus died. And today we come to Easter Sunday, and we celebrate Christ rising from the dead. This morning, I want to take some time and ponder with you what this weekend means. When I was growing up, what was emphasized at Easter was the cross, the power of the cross. It was the cross that our sin was paid for. It was on the cross that Satan was defeated. It was the cross that made the great exchange possible. Jesus took my penalty, and he gave me his life. It was the cross that paved a way for a relationship with God. It was at the cross where I found forgiveness. And all these things are right and important and true. The resurrection that we celebrated today, well, back then, the resurrection was all about apologetics. The resurrection proved that Jesus is who he says he was. It proved that Jesus was true. It validated the work of the cross. And it does that. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." But this morning I want to take you deeper into the resurrection. The resurrection is about far more than just validating the cross. The resurrection is not only something Jesus did, it is all about who he is and about who he wants to be for you. I want to spend the rest of the morning unpacking that. But before we get there, I want to listen to a 70s band called Second Chapter of Acts and listen to the Easter song.
Thank you.
want to tell you a story from John chapter 11. Jesus had three friends in the village of Bethany. Verse 5 puts it this way. Jesus loved Mary and her sister, Martha and Lazarus. In some ways, this is a different relationship than any other characters that we see in the New Testament. They weren't really disciples of Jesus. This family wasn't family with Jesus. These people weren't people that Jesus had brief encounters with and then walked away. These were Jesus' friends. Jesus was up in northern Israel, in Galilee, when he got the word that his friend Lazarus was sick. Now, Jesus hung around Galilee for two more days and then said, "Let's head back to Bethany. Lazarus has died." By the time they got to Bethany, Lazarus had been buried in a tomb for 4 days. The family was mourning. The people of the village were mourning. This was where we pick up the story in verse 20 of John chapter 11. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you what you asked." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Well, Martha is grieving. She's hurting. Her brother has died. And out of her pain, she speaks, "Jesus, you could have healed Lazarus if you were here, but you weren't here." Jesus said, "Listen, your brother will rise again." Martha says, "Well, I know about the resurrection. It will happen at the end of times." What is left unsaid is that isn't much comfort right now. He's gone. But Jesus turns to Martha and says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." If you know the story, you know that Jesus spoke into the grave of Lazarus, and Lazarus was indeed raised from the dead. But the verse I want to focus on this Easter Sunday morning is verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus didn't say, "I can cause a resurrection to happen here." Jesus didn't say, "Well, I myself am going to be resurrected in a very short time from now." Jesus didn't talk about what he could do. He talked about who he was. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. It is not just that I do resurrection, I am resurrection." That is an important distinction. He goes on to say, "I am the life." Those of you who know the Bible know that this isn't the only time that Jesus said that. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." When Jesus says something once, it's worth taking note of. When Jesus says something more than once, you know that it's really important. He wants you to know that he is the life. Well, we're going to look a little deeper at that in a few moments, but right now we're going to listen to Sandy Patty. Was it a morning like this?
Two angels stood at the
I have reminded you of the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus. Although this story is about Lazarus, and although Jesus is talking to Martha, I want you to know that when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die," I want you to know that he is saying that to you as well. The fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life matters to you. It applies to you, and it can make a profound difference to you. For those of you who are not followers of Jesus, it is an invitation to you. Jesus is saying, if you will believe in me, if you will trust in me, if you will put your faith in me, you will have the kind of life that I have to offer. For those of you who are followers of Jesus, it is a statement about the reality of who Jesus is and who he wants to be for you. He is talking about you when he says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. The fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life only matters if you believe in him. But if you do, it says you will live even when you die. In fact, in a sense, you will never die. Verse 26, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That is important for you to note because of what he's saying about when this life starts. It doesn't start after you die. It starts before you die, and death doesn't affect it. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. For those of you who will let me, I will be that for you. For those of you who will believe in me, I want you to know that this life starts now and it extends into eternity. Jesus says to you, I am all about life. I am resurrection. I am life. My guess is that if you have an elementary grasp of the Christian faith, then you'll know some things. One of the things that you will know is that sin is bad. You may not always be able to tell what is a sin and what is not, but you know that sin is bad. And the reality of it is that God hates sin. But the reason why God hates sin is that sin brings death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The reason why there is death in the world is because sin came into the world. But death not only happens on a physical level. Sin brings death on a spiritual level. Sin separates us from God, the author of life. Sin disconnects us from the spiritual realities around us. We neither can see the angels of heaven or the demons of hell. There is so much that goes on a spiritual level that affects our world, and yet we walk through our world totally oblivious to the spiritual reality. But not only that, death affects our soul. Our mind, our will, our emotions, our understanding is often darkened because we can't handle the truth. Our emotions are often distorted, and the reality is that we live in a world full of sin, and other people's sin affects us too, and it brings death to us as well. And this death affects us socially. We build self-protective walls around ourselves. We cannot truly open up ourselves to other people because we're afraid. We are afraid that they might see us for who we are and reject us. We're afraid that they might take advantage of us. We are afraid of being hurt or being imposed on. And the list could go on and on. And as a result of the death that sin brings, we are impoverished. This is our Easter weekend. One of the ways to look at this weekend is that what Jesus did on Good Friday deals with sin. And what he did on Easter Sunday deals with death. Jesus dealt with our sin on the cross. Jesus brought an antidote for our death in his resurrection. Jesus died for our sin according to the scriptures. Jesus was raised to life and he conquered death. And both sides of that equation matters. Often Christianity has been thought of as a moral code that we live by, or has been thought of a list of rules that we keep or that we break. I kind of grew up with a Christianity that says Jesus died for our sins, sin is bad, and so what matters is that we live a holy life, and a holy life is defined by a life without sin, or at least a life where sin is minimized. I believe passionately in living a holy life, but not holiness by that definition. It's good so far as it goes, but you can see that the kind of Christian life that only deals with half of Easter is going to be impoverished. It only deals with Good Friday, with Christ crucified. What I want you to know is that there is a deeper reality, a fuller holiness. Jesus wants to deal with the death that is in us. Every fiber of his being is wired for resurrection. He is wired for life. And when you bring Jesus into your heart, he wants to bring resurrection into your life. He wants to bring the life that is really life into the core of your soul and expand it through the rest of your life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Now, this is different than some self-help book that will tell you if you really want to experience life, well, you need to take up running so you can release endorphins, or you need to take up adventure so you can release adrenaline. Some will tell you that if you're going to experience life, well, then you need to surround yourself with beauty or learn meditation or do something meaningful for fulfillment or experience all you can. And these things can be good, but the life of Christ goes deeper yet. There is often the implication in our society that you need more money if you're going to really live. If you had money, then you could live large. You could really live. You would be able to buy a host of experiences and a pile of stuff with the money that you have. But I want you to know that Christ's life goes deeper yet. All these things are secondary. You could live a life where you never traveled more than 100 kilometers from home, a life where you didn't have much money, a life where you were neither addicted to adrenaline nor endorphins, and yet you could really live. I know some of us have a hard time with that. We live in the 21st century, but most of the people who lived before the 20th century lived that kind of life, and some of them really lived. See, the world of technology that we live in causes us to believe that we live as we go fast, or we travel far, or we learn lots, or we experience much. But those are illusions if you can't get the core things right. Your life is not to be found in things or experiences, but in the person of Jesus Christ. How do you find life in a person? How do you have the work of the resurrection applied to your life? Well, the first thing you need to know is that you can't get to Easter Sunday without first passing through Good Friday. You can't go to life after the life that Jesus offered unless you take his remedy for sin. You must be forgiven. You must be released from your sin. You must put your faith in Christ and his work on the cross. You can't bypass that. Part of believing in Christ is agreeing with him that you are a sinner. A prayer like, "Jesus, I've done what is wrong in your sight. I have sinned. I have acknowledged my need for forgiveness. Please come into my life. I choose to give you my life, and I'm going to follow you." Believing in Jesus means that you trust in the power of his forgiveness, not in your good works. If you want the life of Christ, you must first pass through Good Friday. But this is Easter Sunday. What does it mean to have the work of the resurrection applied to you? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." I would suggest to you that it's an ongoing process. When you get to heaven, you will be fully alive, but I have become convinced that Jesus wants far more for us than many of us who are just hanging around surviving until heaven. He is all about life, and life starts now. It's not about the circumstances you find yourself in. It's about the work of Jesus applied to your life and to your heart right now. Christ is the resurrection and the life. It's more about following a self-help book or an owner's manual. It is about allowing Christ to become the filter through which we experience life. It is about allowing Christ to become the center of all we do in life. Whether it is running or jogging or work or play, Christ becomes the center. Remember, resurrection is a supernatural thing. It's not something you do, but it's something that Christ does. But what Jesus is saying is, when I'm in your life, that's who I am. That's what I want to do. Your job is to let Jesus have full access to the areas of death in your life. What about your relationships? Are you allowing Jesus to have full access there? What about your fears? It's not just, "God help," but, "Jesus, will you help me to trust you more than what I'm fearing?" What about disappointments? They have a way of gnawing at our soul. Will you let the life of Christ come into those? And will you let him be enough for you? What about your perception of yourself? What about the walls you put up or the defenses you put up? Will you allow Jesus to help you walk through what into life and walk outside those walls. Here's what's going to happen. As you commit different areas of your life to Jesus, he's going to come along and show you the poison and the toxins in your soul. He might call you towards change. There may be things that, well, you wouldn't label sin, but you know that they are killing you. And he'll come along and say, hey, I want to bring life to your soul. Will you let me? Will you let me be master of your life? Today, we are reminded that Jesus not only conquered death, he is in the business of giving life. He is the resurrection and the life. He wants you to have real life, true life, abundant life. The question is, will you extend an invitation to him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. You rose from the dead. You showed us that you have the power of life. You said, I am resurrection. I am the life. Lord, my prayer is for our listeners that they would experience your life truly, abundantly, fully. And in the areas of death in their soul right now, that you would gently nudge them and say, yeah, I want to bring back your soul to life. I don't want it withered. I don't want it dying. I want you to flourish. I want life in you. Lord, I pray that you would just give them a sense of your conviction and that you would lead them into the things you want them to do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listeners, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to tell you about a special event that's happening on Friday, May 9th at 7 p.m. at Parkdale United Church. Good News in the Morning is sponsoring this event, and we have invited Dr. Rick Reed. He is president of Heritage College and Seminary, former pastor at the Met, and he's coming to speak about good news and about getting out the good news. Redeemer Alliance's worship team will be there, and it's going to be a great evening. You get to meet and to interact with the ones who normally speak on this program. So I want you to mark it on your calendar, May 9th at Parkdale United Church. It is going to be a wonderful evening. The event starts at 7 p.m. Thank you for your words of encouragement, and thank you for keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. And if you can help with the finances, we would appreciate that. You can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO, or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Here's my prayer for you. May you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out today by listening to Christ the Lord is Risen Today from the hymn Triumphant Performers.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.